Now we want to read the scriptures, so shall we stand? We are reading Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. What a blessing to be in God's house. Amen. And just to be able to read his words and worship him and glorify his holy name. Joel 2, 28, 32. This was a prophecy that the man of God made. And he said this, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance. As the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls." This is God's word, and God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen. We may be seated. When welcoming also those online, wherever you are across the globe, may God bless you, bless you, bless you indeed. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can come to a moment of prayer. And not only will you hear our prayer, you will also answer our prayer. So Lord, as your word goes forth, maybe somebody came just seeking a word of encouragement. Somebody came to be taught. Somebody came to be uplifted. Holy Spirit, you know each one of us. And may this word go forth the way you want it to go forth. Minister to those who need to be ministered to. And Lord, may that rhema word encourage us to be world changers, because that's what we are. We thank you for hearing our prayer, because we have prayed in Jesus' name, and God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen. Those who are just catching up with us in terms of the vision, we are unpacking the vision, declaring that it is indeed the year of empowered world changers. The theme passage is from John chapter 4, verse 27 to 28. And then our theme verse is Psalms 22, 27 to 28. And it's talking about reaching the world, reaching and touching the world, reaching to people, reaching to situations, and just shifting circumstances wherever we are. And as I talk today, I want to talk about the powerful vision of world changers. The powerful vision of world changers. Tell your neighbor, the powerful vision of world changers. And like we said again, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes. The Holy Spirit shows us what to see. And he wants us to see the world. He wants us to see ourselves. He wants us to see what God can do. And I want to say God is going to do great and mighty things. I want to talk about three areas, even as we unpack this powerful vision. And those three areas, number one, is that the powerful vision of world changers is prayer generated. Number two, it is people focused. And number three, it is purpose driven. Number one, it's prayer generated. It is people focused. And it is purpose driven. And I want to start with the prayer generated, because prayer unlocks many doors. Tell your neighbor, prayer unlocks many doors. It is prayer that causes the Holy Spirit to come. The Bible says, "And you shall call unto me, and I shall answer you." And early in the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that when he was praying during his baptism, the Bible says, while he was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, let me read that for us, because it is also important, because as we prepare for the anointing service, the Holy Spirit comes and we ask. And the Bible says here, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who do what? Who ask him. And again, talking about the anointing service, that day, please come with your anointing oil. Yako. Hallelujah. You don't have to go to Israel. Just go to one of these shops here. Naivas. Get oil. We will set it apart. We will pray for it. There are those who love Pastor Kiniti to come with those big bottles. So if you're planning to come with a big bottle and pour it on yourself, that is okay. Hello, but if you want to come with the big bottle, we'll pray for everyone. The small bottle, the big bottles, we'll consecrate the oil. But the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. After we have prayed and anointed, each one of us will anoint themselves. All right? Of course, last time when we did it was because of COVID, so we were not able to anoint one another. This time, even though COVID has passed, because of the time taken to anoint somebody and anoint somebody, we are saying we are going to anoint each one of us ourselves. And then after that anointing, I'm going to then ask the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to release the Holy Spirit upon us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit prepares us for the year. Amen? The Holy Spirit is going to do amazing things in your lives. And you know when Mary asked the angel, how am I going to have a child when I'm a virgin? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will do what? Will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the Holy Spirit is God himself. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we are not, it's not just a ritual. It's not just some gimmicks. We are simply bowing down and saying, Holy Spirit, take charge. Holy Spirit, take over my life. And I want you to know that God will do amazing things on that day. So you come, even as Pastor Kiniti has shared, and even as we have talked about preparing for that day. Now, some of your friends on that day may just come without knowing why they are coming, and they may not have oil. Hello? And they'll just show up. But the leadership will know what to do with them. Of course, one of the things is that they will send them back to the shops. Together oil. By the way, last year, that week, Naivas, all the oil got finished. Evie, finished. So, enda mapema, bwana sifiwe. And we're not doing business with them. We're just saying, you take time to do what you need to do. Hallelujah. Bwana sifiwe. So, prayer is important. That's why this week, take time to do what? To pray. And prepare yourself. Pray. Because as you prepare, the Holy Spirit will then come upon a vessel that is prepared. Because God wants to do a new thing in our lives. And like Joel said, I will pour my spirit upon who? All flesh. All of us. And God wants to do something special. But it was prayer generated. These men of God in the early church, they prayed. The Bible says in the book of Acts, let me go to the book of Acts, when Jesus Christ had already promised the Holy Spirit to come, he then told them to prepare. And he had left. In fact, let me go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is telling them about the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so they had 10 days to wait because Jesus went to heaven on the 40th day. Pentecost was on the 50th day. They had 10 days to wait. So verse 13, while they were waiting, this is what happened. Acts chapter 1, verse 13. This is what they did as they waited. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, Judas, son of James. Then it says, verse 14, they all did what? They all joined together, doing what? Constantly in prayer. So they were praying. Along with them, the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up and started a business meeting about replacing Judas Iscariot. But one thing I was saying about in the early service, that these men prayed. Tell your neighbor, the men prayed. So go back to verse 14, because I want to challenge the men. Because us men are very important. So look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, men are important. Amen. Especially this year, we are very important. So it says here, they all joined together. Who are these they all? They all are those people that were mentioned in verse 13. So verse 13, let me go back there. And I want you to see if there's any name of a woman there. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Now, verse 14. They all, now who are these all? These are men. They joined together constantly in prayer, but then they were joined by who? Women, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I want to say this, men, you are key in praying. Men must take their position to do what? To pray. Now, Pastor Simon, like we said earlier this today, we're saying the reason why sometimes men do not pray is because men associate prayer with emotions. Because prayer was delegated to women. So women pray. They pray. They pray for food. They pray for visitors who have arrived in the house. They pray. But when they pray, they add their emotions. Hallelujah. When they pray for food, instead of just praying for food, they add their emotions about the food. So men don't feel like praying because they think prayer includes what? Emotions. You tell a woman to pray for food, she prays in a different way. You tell a man to pray for food, straightforward, no emotions. This is a fact. It needs to be done, and it needs to be done quickly. Father, for the food that is before us, we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tuendele. For women, emotions have to come in. Father, Mwabani. As I prepare the food in the kitchen, as I went to the market, oh, your hand was with us. The man is wondering, when shall we eat this food? So men don't pray because they think it's about emotions. But let me tell you this, men need to pray. Emotions or no? Emotions. Because we must take charge of prayer because we are the door openers. Hallelujah. We are the door openers. And these men prayed. And when they prayed, God began to do amazing things. They prayed. Let me show you another place they prayed. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible says this. They had been threatened by the judges and all this. They were told not to talk in the name of Jesus. Then the Bible says this, Acts 4:23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own place and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they did what? They raised their voices together in prayer to God, and they prayed and prayed and prayed. By verse 31, verse 30, go to 30. Verse 30, they said, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus, the Holy Servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was what? Was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. These men prayed. These men prayed. They prayed to prepare. They prayed on the journey. They prayed on the go. When there was trouble in the church, they prayed. Acts chapter 12, the Bible says this, that Peter was threatened, their leader was threatened. And it says this, Acts 12, verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of the unleavened bread. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church did what? Honestly, were praying to God for him. And as they were praying, guess what? An angel showed up. When we pray, the Holy Spirit will come. When we pray, angels will move on our behalf. These men prayed. The Bible says that Paul and Silas in prison, during midnight, they started praising and praying. And as they did that, an earthquake happened. So in the whole book of Acts, they were praying, 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 praying. And let me tell you this, vision will be generated when we pray. God will show us things when we pray. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, they were trying to figure out which way should they go. And so in Acts, chapter 10, let me read this verse. I think it is around verse 13. The Bible says this, Acts 10, 13. Go to the next verse. It's not Acts 10. Acts 16, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 16. This is the story about Cornelius. But this is Acts 16, about verse 13. Acts 16. Acts 16. Now it says on this, on the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down. Of course, this is much ahead of what I wanted to say. Go back to around verse 9. Because I want you to get what these guys were doing. The Bible says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to us and help us. This happened when they were trying to go to Bithynia and to other places. And I believe it took time for them to know exactly where they were going. But they were praying. They were praying. And then in verse 9, they saw a vision. In prayer, God will give you a vision. I'm saying through prayer, God will give you a vision. So this vision is generated by prayer. And so prayer is important. We pray for our children. We pray for our families. Let me tell you this. As we pray, God will allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives in ways he has never moved. How did some of us get saved? You know, we didn't get saved by going for a lecture and hearing a preacher preach. No. The Holy Spirit put us under conviction. And I believe, Pastor Simon, for myself, being the firstborn of six children, I know the thing that brought me to conviction was my mother prayed. And you know, mothers pray for firstborns. And they pray because sometimes firstborns go haywire. But I want to thank God for all the firstborns in the house. I'm thanking God for all the firstborns in the house. I'm saying that if you're a firstborn, can you stand up? We want to see all the firstborns. If you are ladies or gentlemen, want to see the firstborns. These firstborns are key people. Somebody saying, watch. And I know that because you are the firstborn, some of us were born in a very challenging way because we were the first ones to come. And some of us were in hospital. Some of us were premature. Others were overdue. Are there some who are overdue? They stayed beyond a week, 2 weeks, until the doctor started to wonder. For me, I was born premature. I was born quite about nearly a month or two. And it just showed up. I was in a hurry to come into this world. And I believe my mother prayed, and my mother said, oh God, Ambrose must survive. God, Ambrose must survive. And so when I was born and I started growing, my mother continued praying and praying. And then he started praying, God, save Ambrose, save Ambrose. And God began to release the Holy Spirit. And some of you are here because a mother prayed. For some of you, it is a father who prayed. And they prayed very seriously. And you showed up. And so I want to pray in Jesus' name. As this pastor stands up as a firstborn, talking to firstborns, you're online. And I want to say this in Jesus' name. May the Lord answer your parents' prayers. May the Lord take you farther than they went. in the name of Jesus. May the Lord lift you up and show you his favor in this world. Some of you have a lot of responsibilities. But did you know it is very interesting that in some houses, you find it is the second bones, the third bones, and even the last bones who take charge of the family. Hello? But I want to pray for the ones who are standing now in Jesus' name. May the Lord enlarge your territory in 2023. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. At least now you know who are the first bones and why they are sometimes kihere here. So, we just thank God that God answers prayer. But there are some people who, they don't even, I cannot say they are the firstborn. They are also not the lastborn. They are the only born. If you're one of those people who are the only born, stand up. You're the only born. Yani hakuna mtu mbele, hakuna mtu nyuma. You're the only born. Can you imagine? And you're standing. May God bless you. You're unique people. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate them in Jesus' name. Yes. Thank you. You may be seated. Somebody saying, Mimi pastor. Mimi pia. Mimi ni last born. Maybe you're the current last born. There may be others who may show up. But for your sake, let me ask the last bones to stand up, because they are the receivers of other people's clothes. And come on, let's celebrate these last bones. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is very nice. Now you can talk to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "Hello." there are some people here who don't realize, had never known that their husband is actually the last born. They are just wondering, this, no wonder. But to all of us, let me say this. You came because of prayer. Somebody prayed for you. And now you have children. Pray for those children. Fathers, pray for your children. Put your hands on your children and bless them. You have no idea what power you have in that house. These men prayed. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. And let me tell you this. God will do amazing things. The Bible says they all prayed. They got a vision for all, by all. They prayed and God answered their prayer. But secondly, let me tell you this. That this powerful vision is people focused. Tell your neighbor, people focused. God is interested in people. People. In the book of Acts, the list that I read, if you can remember the list that I read, there were very few disciples who now are in that prayer meeting. By the way, there were 120 when they came together, 120 of them. So let me just give you those numbers, because God loves numbers. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Let me read that verse. God is interested in people. It says this, "In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering how many? 120. There were 120. And they had a meeting here to replace Judas Iscariot. There were 120. Much later, when they were preaching and the Holy Spirit has come, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Let me read that. When Peter gave an altar call, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, guess what happened? It says, those who accepted his message and were baptized, they were about how many? 3,000. So from about less than 9 people to 120, suddenly you have 3,000 people. Because God loves people. In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, the numbers just increased. Just go to Acts 4, verse 4. It says, but many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about what? 5,000. Why does God put numbers in the Bible? It's because God is interested in people. And this message kept going and going and going. By the time it was reaching Acts 17, verse 6, listen to what is recorded in Acts 17, verse 6. The Bible says this: but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, and they were shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here." Now see how it says in the New King James Version. The New King James Version says it a different way. So let me read that. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down." In other words, the numbers had increased and people were being impacted. Can you imagine Kenya saying, and they're announcing, that these people from Parklands have turned Kenya upside down? These were men and women who are world changers. But sometimes you wonder, how did they have to reach all these people? Let me tell you this. One person reached another person, who reached another person, who reached another person, who reached another person. And that's why we are saying, accountants who are in the house today, reach accountants. They are the nearest people around you. Doctors, reach doctors. Nurses, reach nurses. What will be a shara? Reach. In other words, we must reach people because it's about people. Let me read Acts chapter 2, verse 17. That Peter was preaching, and this is what he says. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on how many people? All people. That is why we are saying on the anointing service, God wants to anoint every one of us. He is reaching out to people. Jesus cared about people. And I want to say this, we need to care for people. Why? Because God loves people, God plans for people, and God must have a people bearing his name. Amen? That is why in the book of John, Jesus really looked for people. In John chapter 3, he talked to Nicodemus. In John chapter 4, to the Samaritan woman. In John chapter 5, a man was crippled. In John chapter 6, Jesus was talking to people who were so hungry, and he had to feed 5,000 men. Acts chapter 7, there were some people who were thirsty. Jesus was talking about water. John chapter 8, Jesus dealt with a woman who was caught in an act of adultery, because Jesus cares about people. Tell your neighbor, Jesus cares about people. And I want to say here in Parkland Baptist Church, this church is open. We care about people. We do not put rules at the gate, the kind of people we need here. Hallelujah. We don't put people of this kind. Kama kuna rastas usionekane hapa. Hello? Because people come packaged in different ways. Before rastas were fashionable, let me tell you this. When a man walked into the church with rastas, they were looked at very badly. Hello? And so sometimes we look at the package instead of looking at the person. And the person is not the physical person you're looking at. The person is inside that person. That is why Jesus sat with the Samaritan woman. She had all kinds of issues, but Jesus knew that this Samaritan woman was going to unlock the door of Samaria. And she did. Guess what? She brought so many men. It was amazing. The Bible says in John chapter 4, let me read those verses. Around verse 40, the Bible says this, when those men from Samaria came, he says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you say. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. People must reach people. Some of us reach children. Some of us reach the people in the police force because you know how to connect with them. We are trying to reach people at the political level so that we can send this word to them. We are reaching people. We love people. We care for people. Sometimes we may not like them. Hallelujah. But hey, Pastor Simon, do you know the Bible does not say like everybody? Because some people are not likable. You know, some people eat loudly. Have you ever met people who eat loudly? They eat so loudly, you don't want to sit with them. But the Bible did not say like everybody. The Bible said love, love, Love is patient and love is kind. Love is not irritable. It is not touchy. Love believes all things, bears all things. And so we love, even though sometimes we don't like some people. Hello? But people have different personalities. There are some people who are very loud. You know, instead of talking softly, now you know you're talking two of you. But they're talking loudly. Sasa Pastor Kiniti. Instead of just saying, Sasa Pastor Kiniti. So some people, you don't like them. And yet God did not send us to like people. God sent us to love people, to show them that we care. And sometimes we may not have what they need, but we can direct them to the one who knows what they need. So look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you're special. In Jesus' name. Now tell the one who did not respond to you, and tell them, you're special. Tell them, usuzibaye kwa kanisa. Hallelujah. God is good. Good to see you, mother, sitting here and just comfortable. God bless you big time. Hallelujah. So we welcome people. God loves people. God cares about people. And I want you to know that God wants to pour his spirit upon all flesh. But in focusing on people, we shouldn't focus on their weaknesses. We should focus on their destiny. There's a destiny in their lives. Parents, there is a destiny in your children's lives. Some of your children may not be very likable. Some of them have harassed you their whole life. But I want to tell you this. God can turn situations around. God can turn situations around. May God turn those children around for the sake of your kingdom. Not just for your sake, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. So this vision is given through prayer-generated, people-focused, but purpose-driven. There is a purpose for what we are doing. There's a purpose for this vision. Let me read Acts chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible says this, Acts 2, 21. It says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Will be saved. God wants people saved. Why are we reaching out to people? Because we want to see them saved. We want to see them restored to Jesus. We want to see them reconciled to the kingdom of God. We want to see them born again. We just don't want to do church. We just don't want to be coming and be religious. We just don't want to be Baptists and Mennonites and Catholics and Presbyterians. That's not what God is about. God is about saving people. God is about restoring people. And one of those people, the Bible says, was a man called Cornelius. And Cornelius was a man who was not a Jew. He was a Roman soldier. So let me read a few verses about this man, because God cared about this person. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, this man was very religious. And the Bible says in Acts 10 verse 1, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. In other words, he was an Italian. Tell your neighbor, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And for those who are following the marches in Italy, let me tell you this. There was an Italian called Cornelius. So Cornelius is not a Christian name. It is an Italian name. Tell your neighbor, amen. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. Can you imagine? Devout, God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need. And he prayed to who? To God. Regularly. But one day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. And he said, yes. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. Now, can you imagine that God goes the whole way to reach out to an Italian soldier? He cared about this man. Of course, Peter did not care about these Italians. He didn't care about these people. And that is why Peter was given a vision of unclean animals. And God told him, eat the animals. And Peter said, I do not eat those unclean animals. And know what God was trying to tell Peter? He said, Peter, I'm going to take you to people you think they are unclean. But let me tell you this. Do not call unclean that which I have called clean. There are people who are untouchables. But listen to me. I want you to reach out to them. Thank God Peter went. And Peter went into this house. And let me tell you this. God began to do something amazing. Around chapter 10, verse 24. This is what the Bible says. Acts 10, 24. He says this. Acts 10, 24. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea, and Cornelius was expecting him, them, and had called together, guess what? His relatives and close friends. This guy was very serious. And then as Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said, I'm only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. And he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit with who? With Gentiles. That's what happened to Jews. If they entered a house, they had to go and clean themselves because it was bad news to go into that house. Then he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit with a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? So they told him, and he started preaching. You know, he started preaching. He was so excited. He started preaching. But you know, Pastor Simon, you know, all he knew is, me, I'll preach. Whether they get saved or not, I don't care. I'll just preach. So the guy is preaching, telling them the story. But guess what? Around verse 44, chapter 10, verse 44, something happens. In verse 44, it says this. Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Do you know why? Because God's purpose is to save everyone. Everybody in your house needs salvation. Everybody. Your father needs salvation. Your mother needs salvation. Your aunties need salvation. Your mother-in-law needs salvation. Somebody saying, not the one you know. That one does not need salvation. Let me tell you this. They all need salvation. How God will get to them, only God knows. But let me tell you this. All of us need salvation. That's the purpose that drives us every day. That's why we preach this gospel every day. That's why we have not stopped preaching this gospel. I gave my life to Christ when I was in 1974. That's when I gave my life to Christ. Soon after that, I started sharing this gospel message. And let me tell you this, I've not stopped. And I'm driven because God wants everybody saved. And let me say this. One thing I always tell God is this. God, may everybody who comes to Parkey, may everybody who listens online on Parkey TV, may none of them go to hell. None of them. May they all come to heaven with me in the name of Jesus Christ. All of them. All of them. All of you. Because heaven is a wonderful place. And heaven was created for you. And that is why Jesus came and gave his life for you, that you may be saved. Hallelujah. So, this powerful vision is prayer generated. This powerful vision is people focused. And this powerful vision is purpose driven. And God is saying, come on board. Let this vision be our vision in 2023. Do you receive it? Shall we stand? I know many of you are preparing for this coming week. Your children are going back to school. Parents, we are praying for you. There are those who just received results from four and all those things. We celebrate those who passed, and we celebrate those who passed. And we celebrated those who just passed. And we celebrate those who are still under the sea level, but God is taking them places. Hallelujah. Bwana asifiwe. You know, sometimes the 844 thing really has caused us to really compete and do a lot of things. And now that there's CBC and many other things are happening. Hallelujah. But somebody said, Robert Kiyosaki said this, A students get very good jobs, they're very educated, they go to universities and things like that. And then he said that C students start businesses and they employ A students. And the B students work for government. I don't know if he was right. But let me say this to parents. Sometimes your kids may get C minus, and it's like your life is over. And you feel like you want to kill these kids. But let me say this. Pastor Ambrose got an F. And see where he is. Because F to somebody may mean failure, but to God it meant fantastic. God was setting me up in life. Let me tell you this, in life, once in a while you need to fail. Hallelujah. And what they failed is just a paper. They themselves are not failures. A guy gets a C, he's not finished. The C may just mean courageous. Hello? So parents, don't feel that your life is over. There are parents also who are struggling to get schools for your children. They got 400 marks, some of them got 410. They've been taken to a school that you have never known. Sigliaglia primary school, secondary school. People are moving from Eldoret to Malindi. You don't know how you'll reach there. And right now, you are so anxious. I want to tell you this. Don't be anxious. God loves your children. God knows what he will do. Bwana asifiwe. Not everybody must go to Kenya High School. I'm talking to somebody right now. Not everybody. If all of us went to Kenya High School, that place, even Ambrose, can you imagine Ambrose going to Kenya High School? It's not for boys. Thank you for mentioning that. But what I'm trying to say is this, parents, stop being anxious. Trust in God for the life of your children. God knows where they need to be, when they need to be there, because God loves your children. And God loves you. As I'm praying this prayer of benediction, I'm also praying for wisdom upon you. In Jesus' name. That as you go out, you are world changers. Empowered world changers. And God cares about your house, cares about your children, cares about your household, because God wants them changed for the glory of heaven. Bwana asifiwe. Amen. Now let's give God another big hand and just tell him, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Amen.
Baba wa mbinguni, nyosha watu walisifu.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to worship you today, giving us an opportunity, Jehovah God, to pray, to hear your word, to give for the advancement of your kingdom. And dear Lord, we came not as a ritual thing we do, not as a routine thing we do. We came that we may meet God. And Lord, thank you that your word has come in a very powerful way. And Lord, even as I've shared it, it has impacted my life. And I know that it is touching lives. Those who are watching us online, those in the pavilion, those in the overflow tent, wherever they are, in this compound, in the youth sanctuary, even as they had their service, the children, even as they had their service. God, I pray that the word that goes out of our mouth does not come back empty, that it shall accomplish that which you send it to do. And dear Lord, I pray that this powerful vision for world changers, indeed, like you have said, it is prayer generated. I pray that we shall not fail to pray, and we shall pray and pray and not give up our prayers. That, Lord, this vision is people focused. Lord, help us to reach out to people, to reach out to them, because you're the only one who can transform them. You are the only one who can change them. And dear Lord, this vision is purpose-driven, to see that men and women are saved and are preserved for your kingdom. Dear Father, Lord, even as we leave this afternoon, I pray that we shall go with your blessing and with your favor. Lord, like I said earlier, many parents are going and taking back their children to school. Some of them, school fees is not there. Some of them who are taking children to certain schools who passed very well, and they're just worried what to do next. God, give these parents peace. Give them courage. Give them knowledge to know that, God, you have not finished with them yet. You're still doing great and marvelous things. May miracles accompany them. May they have testimonies to share because they trusted in you. They prayed and they leaned on you. The Bible says that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion that can never be shaken. I declare to each one of us here today, you will not be shaken. I say you will not be shaken. I am saying you will not be shaken. I'm saying that you will stand firm on the rock of Jesus Christ. God is giving you victory this week. God is giving you victory this month. You are a world changer. And so, Father, we thank you for just hearing our prayer. And Lord, we pray that indeed as we go forth, we shall go forth knowing that you are accompanying us wherever we go. Lord, even we pray for homes. Some of them are challenged homes. Some of them, oh God, are homes that are experiencing bereavement. Dear Lord, minister to them. There are homes that there is so much lack because business went haywire. Jobs were cut off and they need resources. Father, reach out. Touch those homes. Touch those families. Touch those individuals. And show yourself mighty on their behalf. So, Father, we are so grateful that we could be here this day. And Lord, we want to command a blessing upon our week. And now I declare to you, even as you lift up your hands, as I command this blessing, and I declare to you in the name of Jesus, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. May the Lord bless your coming in. May the Lord bless your going out. I declare that your Monday is blessed. And your Tuesday is blessed. Your Wednesday is blessed. Your Thursday is blessed. Your Friday is blessed. Your Saturday is blessed. That anointing service is blessed. And Sunday you're coming back with a testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Son of the living God. And I bless you indeed. If you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm just blessing you and saying this month will not end before you give your life to Jesus Christ, because God loves you big time. And so I bless you in the name of the Father, and I bless you in the name of the Son, and I bless you in the name of the Holy Spirit. And God's beloved people say,
amen.
Come on, let's give God another big hand. Amen. And amen. Please appreciate your neighbor by giving them a high five and just tell them thank you for coming to church today. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, surely goodness and mercy
shall follow you
all the days of your life.
And you,
yani you,
I'm talking to you,
you shall dwell in God's favor, in God's goodness,
in God's protection.
And there's nothing the devil can do about it. You are blessed to be a blessing.
You are
lifted to lift others up. Your favor to be favorable. That is your portion. In Jesus' name. Come on, another big hand to the Lord. Amen. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Shalom.